you get up here and tell your story, you got to narrow it down real quick. And all I did was outlined it. So I don't have it all wrote word for word. I am the oldest girl of four. When I was born, in Bellefonte. We lived in Penn State Country. We lived in downtown State College on West Beaver Avenue. We had eight people in the house. Well, no, I shouldn't say eight because Donna wasn't around yet. There were seven of us with three college students. And I remember very little of then, but the house is still there. Believe it or not, it's still there. And I go by there and I thought, how did seven of us get in that house with three college students? I do not know, but I know it was done. Where did the extra come in? I lived with not only my parents, but my father's parents lived with us also. Dad was worked there at the State College Post Office, which is there on the old post office there on the corner of Beaver Street and Allen Street, which is now the library. He was studying, believe it or not, to be one of the big postmasters in the new post office, which he never got to do. He died in 1963. I was only nine. My baby sister was three. So there ended up being four girls of us. We lived in Hoodlesburg at that time when Dad died. But backtrack a little bit on singing. My sisters, I could only remember being at the age of five when I first went to church. We lived in Jacksonville. We went to the only church that in Jacksonville had, and we lived there in Jacksonville. I can remember Mrs. Earl Harder. Anybody remember her from the old days? Did you know her, Dave? Bless her heart, she's the one that got my sisters and I to sing. Our neighbors heard us singing out in the backyard as we used to sing and play on a swing set. And I can remember that swing set at the end of the sliding board had a big hole. That was a beautiful place to slide down into water. Mud and all, we loved it. And as long as it wasn't thundering, we were out in the rain playing. We had all kinds of imaginations. In those days, you didn't have TV in every room. You didn't have computers. You didn't have iPhones, anything to distract you. You used your imagination. And, wow, we really did. But we would sing Jesus Loved Me, songs you learned in your childhood in Sunday school. Mrs. Earl Harder, I used to sit up in the very front pew when I was a kid in Sunday school, and she approached me one Sunday morning while we were sitting there. I think my sisters were beside me, at least two of them. Donna wasn't around yet, the baby, and said, Sharon, how about you coming up here and singing for us? That's where it started. I was 6 years old. My sisters, three of us would be on the stage from that point on, invited to sing. Then it grew as the years went by. Then we moved to Hoodlesburg. Dad developed an ulcer, a big time ulcer, trying to perfect himself. He was a perfectionist, and I get some of that from him, to be one of the tops. You're talking about a war vet. He fought in the Second War, fought in the five main battles. He was in the Navy, he had the five stars to prove it. And he was a perfectionist. He developed a big-time ulcer. He went from hospital to hospital. Nothing was done till it was almost too late. He ended up in Bellefonte, lost three-quarters of his stomach. He could have survived, but the surgeon made a mistake and slit his liver. He died that night. I had a vision, 9 years old, three times that my father was going to die in a hospital. It came true. We used to have family altar at home, and we prayed every night. All of us got down on our knees in the living room. Grandma would read the Bible. And I'm going to tell you right now, Grandma was not perfect, and I'll explain later why. But we had family altar, and I knew in my heart. Remember the show Ben Casey and the symbols you used to have? Death, male, female, and so forth. I drew the cross to my sister for a piece of paper that was in front of me. I said, Daddy's not going to make it. 6 o'clock the next morning, Mom woke me up and said, "Daddy's gone." No surprise, I already knew Dad was not going to make it. That we also traveled clear from Hoopersburg, clear to State College on College Avenue, East College Avenue, to a church. Christian Missionary Alliance Church used to meet in the Odd Fathers Hall. Do you remember that day? Do you remember anything of that? We used to go up steps to the second floor. We had folding chairs to sit on, folding chairs for the altar, and a fantastic preacher, which he ended up building the first Christian Missionary Alliance Church out there on Fly Drive. Reverend Raymond Dibble, I can still remember him to this day. Gladys, his wife, Karen and Sharon, his daughters. He's the one that buried my father. My father got to meet him somehow, so we ended up traveling clear from Hoopersburg, clear to State College, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Never failed. We knew by the clock how to get there. We got there. After Dad died, I don't know how I ended up being in my grandfather's old Pontiac car by myself, but I was in the back seat on a church one night. I wasn't quite 10, close to being 10 years old. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "I want you. I want you." And all I can think of that, I want to be home with you. I want to go where Daddy is. God said, "I'll take you." I accepted Christ as Lord and Savior in the car, but I was also told when I got to church that night, I had to make a public confession. And that's what we were taught years ago, to do so. So I was sitting there all night. Don't ask me what Reverend Dibble preached on. I couldn't tell you. I was too excited to tell everybody what I had done. So I went to the altar that night, and I shared to everybody what I had done in the car. Now, did I know what I was doing? Yes. Did I know the voice that I had? Yes, I knew the voice. I had just enough in me to know that was God speaking to me. Was my life perfect after that? No. Is my perfect life perfect now? No. I'd be lying if I told you it was. Because God never promised us a rose garden. There's thorns on those roses. There are lessons to learn as you travel. One of my best experiences that I had learned was when I was 16 years old. I was having my private devotions clear up on third floor in the attic, cold room. We had old school desk up there, and I was sitting up there, and I was reading my Bible and praying. And all of a sudden, it was a gray day. It wasn't no sun shining. It was daylight, but it was just a gray, ugly day. That room lit up brighter than any LED lights you can get today. I was the only one in that attic, so I thought. God's presence was fantastic. And I come down those three flights of stairs. Don't ask me how I got to the bottom. You talk about floating on a cloud, that's apparently what I was. I got at the bottom rejoicing for the presence that I had been in, 16 years old. I come around the corner, my grandmother said, "Wow, your face is all lit up." I've just been with God. What can you expect? Fantastic. I've had other experiences since then. My reason why I said about my grandmother, in spite of everything she was, she portrayed a lot. We have a lot of fake Christians, and my grandmother was one. She knew who God was, don't get me wrong, but she wasn't faithful. After I turned 11, there was abuse like you won't believe. I was the one who got it. It was more verbal than physical. And how God spared me, I don't know. She aggravated my grandfather, and he tried to strangle me 3 times. I'm still here. The last time he tried it, it took 5 people to get him off. God spared me. I'm still here. Why? My work is not done yet. His eye is on the sparrow. and he's bigger than any mountain. And I didn't pick these songs. I didn't even know the couple weeks what I was going to be doing till last week. I did not know the songs. And those songs fit so well into my life and into each and every one of our lives if we stop and really think about it. So my sisters and I, in spite of my grandmother's abusiveness, take the bad away. She saw that we was in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. If it was 2 weeks of revival services, we were there. If it was 2 weeks of Bible school, we were there. If it was 5-day Bible clubs, we were there. When we moved to Unionville, we got involved in Miracle Book Club, which was a Christian youth club, met every Saturday. We didn't have a boring life in the Miracle Book Club. We had Bible study, then we had baseball. We had Bible study, and we'd go roller skating, ice skating. Go visit other groups. There was other groups. Belfont had one. Pleasant Gap had one. We had other groups other where we got together and would have competitions sometimes. Fantastic times. Probably one of the worst things that I have walked in my life, and teens, I see just only a couple of you here. You may be picked out and singled and left alone and made to feel like you're the Lone Ranger. You're not. God's with you. God is with you. You are not the best of people, so you like to think. The people around you, or sometimes your fellow friends, will treat you differently. Sad thing of it is, I was told by certain other Christians I could not go to dances, so I didn't get to go to any of my proms. I didn't get to go to any of my school dances. I lived it. Found out the ones who told me not to do it allowed their kids to do it. That hurt. One day I said to God, why am I such a freak that people has to treat me this way? No shame. If they can't accept you, I can't accept them. They can't say they love me and hate their brother too. They can't have both. And I thought, thank you, Lord. The peace you have once you are told something. So yeah, you'll be mistreated. And we as fellow Christians need to support our teens today. They face things that I did not face. And we need to really hold them up. Then life goes on. I got married. I had children. Did I always have it easy after that? No. I had my valleys as well as my mountaintops. But the valleys is where I learned. Valleys are the places where I got stronger. Valleys are where I got to lean on the everlasting arms. I got to trust God more. I got to know who He was. Then time went on. I didn't think at 54 that when I had my right hip replaced, I would go into other problems. I ended up being with the blood thinner I had, ended up putting me just killing. Exactly. I was bleeding, hemorrhaging on my adrenal glands, and I should have died. In fact, I was close to it, but God had His hands on me. I walked into the emergency room and talked to them just as I'm talking to you. My blood pressure was 55 over 33 and no pulse. They said, Sharon, you're supposed to be dead. And I smiled, I'm not, I'm here. I was as alert as can be. Ended up finding out that's what happened. I was hemorrhaging and my adrenal glands had died. Because of all the IVs they were giving me, I end up having my blood watered down, and too much that they had to give me, blood transfusion. 2 pints of blood. First pint was fine. Not even into the half of the second one, I went into a heart attack. I was on, medically speaking, fluid overflow. I had too much fluid in, nothing coming out. So I had my first heart attack. And I said, and I was up in the state college, I said, get me out of here. And I went to Geisner. Down there, the head cardiologist said to me again, you're supposed to be dead. I said, I know, but I'm still here. Why? God was using me for something. And I was there for a reason, but I was still alive. So I went through a double bypass and came home and ended up a month and a half later going back down again, because the surgeon, even though it's a small like a vein that instead of blood, it carries fat. He slivered that, it was laying against my left lung. All that fat was going into my lung. So I ended up there for a month. That was a challenge. Down there in Geisner by yourself when your family's all up here. And I know a couple of times I talked to Pastor Dan, bless his heart, he says, Sharon, just hold on. You're there for a reason. And you know what? God gives you a peace in spite of, and I can understand Bonnie Gray very well. God gives you a peace. Yeah, you grow weary of being where you are, but you're there for a reason. And you just trust God, smile, read your Bible, and just be a testimony. Did I testify verbally to any of my doctors and nurses? No. But they knew. They knew. They would peek around the corner of my room to see what I was doing, and my Bible was open. And they just smile and walk away. They knew. I didn't have to broadcast what I was. The air around you is going to broadcast what you are. So when I left that day, after I had another surgery and left, they fought to take me downstairs. I thought, my goodness, I need to clone myself here so everybody can take me down and go home. But it was a piece, and one nurse gave me a card. I should have bought it, but I didn't. She never took care of me. But she said, something about you touched me. That's a witness. Why we go through things, I don't know. I'm going to soon be starting another chapter of my life. I don't know what's in store, but God does. And it always comes back, everything that I'm saying, the songs that were sung, comes back to the verse that God gave me long time ago as a young girl. It's found in Psalm 73:28. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version because that's how it was given to me. I didn't have anything but the King James Version. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. And that goes every day. You never know from day to day what's going to take place. All you do is trust in the Lord your God. Thank you.